Hey everybody, this is Mike.
We're just jumping in.
Oh yeah, here we go. And I'm Sean. Meet the ball.
Meet the ball. This is Matt, and you're listening to Ranks for Nothing. We're a little podcast. We've been doing it. It's almost been a year now. Coming up on
yeah, it's kind of crazy. I was thinking that same thing.
I can't believe it's.
I think
been
about
that long.
A year ago, like almost to the day, is like when we were like,
we should do this.
I hit you guys up, I was like, dude, let's do this.
Yeah.
And it took us like 3 months.
I think it was like sometime in October.
We didn't start until December, yeah?
No, but I think we got the idea rolling in like October. And then I think Matt probably got his microphone like a little later in the month, like November.
Yeah.
And then we started like doing some tests. And then we didn't really like put an actual episode together until fucking like December-ish.
Late December, yeah. Hey, because when did you come to town last? Was that May last year?
That was literally like this time last year.
Oh, really?
Because it was the first week in October because Nick Whalen got married.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's why I came into town, and that was the week of the car show, which the week of the car show was last week for me. So it was like, about a year ago.
Oh, okay. Because I remember it still being pretty warm out, so that was throwing me off.
Yeah.
Fucking the heat never stops here, man.
Yep. Fucking never. It's like living on the sun.
It's living on the goddamn sun. So you guys got any asshole neighbors?
At my house?
Yeah, your neighbors in your neighborhood.
What the fuck kind of question is that? What an odd question.
Our one neighbor is a little, like we didn't know, they got a lot of cars and they're on the property.
Oh, Christ, a little junkyard lot?
No, they're like...
Just a lot of people live there or?
No, that's the thing is it's only a guy, his wife, and then they have a kid, not a kid because he's like an adult. Mm-hmm. But he's living there, and he's like always working on a car, and it's just like
maybe he
there's
does
just like six cars there, like maybe, all the time at least, and then there's like some in the garage work. Too. It's just like always cars.
Is it like the same cars or is it like revolving?
It's usually the same cars. Like one will switch out every now and again.
I say maybe he does like at home like shop that's work on
what,
the side.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Is like maybe it's like long term projects for people. I don't really fucking know.
Yeah. That's weird.
But, I mean, they're all right. I don't really have any problems with them.
My neighbors fucking suck. Fucking hate them.
Fucking hate them. Why do you hate them?
Mainly the dogs. They're just, fucking dogs are awful. Oh. God.
Fucking can't assholes. Control them.
Just two little assholes. They just don't give a shit about them. They live outside pretty much 24 hours
that
a day.
Sucks.
Yeah. They're just borderline, like, feral dogs. So, fucking assholes. They just, dude, anytime, like, anything loud comes around the corner... One of them, they have like a little fucking playground set up for their baby. Like anytime they hear it, like when I'm on my bike, I come around the corner. And it's only like four houses away or so. I see them fucking just start running circles around this little playground set. Just fucking just getting wild up. It's fucking little prick.
Fucking wilding out.
So annoying. Anytime we bring like the fucking trash can up the driveway or to the driveway back down, they just lose their shit over like the loud noise. They just That's like run up to the fence and scare the fuck out of you.
Oh, God.
God. I just want to, like, kick the fuck out of the fence. One time I was fucking weed whacking, and I just, like...
just riled him up.
Dude, when you're fucking... When I'm, like, trying to fucking do the trim line right there, like, against the chain link fence at the bottom, they're just, like, attacking the weed whacker wire. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. One time I just fucking straight just, like, nudged the fence right into his fucking face. Didn't do anything, though. I like animals, but goddamn, dude, I fucking hate asshole dogs.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like, little, like, toy dogs.
Yeah,
they just fucking yipe all day.
Yeah, one looks like it's like a fucking like Benji dog. We just call it Benji.
Oh, I like
their names. Yeah,
Benji dogs.
Not this.
Those movies
one.
Always made me sad.
Not this one. This one sucks.
Oh shit.
Fuck. Oh, there's one now.
Oh. That's
do we got a
shut that asshole up?
Oh, that's one of our asshole dogs.
We have we have a fucking dog in our neighborhood. He's like across the street from me, and I swear, like every time I'm outside in the backyard, I can hear him barking, but he doesn't fucking bark. He fucking woos. I call him the goddamn Ric Flair dog. It's like every. Every
Damn,
30
awesome.
Seconds, every 30 seconds, I swear he's all, woo!
Woo! What kind of dog is it?
Like, there goes Rick.
Is it a hound dog or some shit, or what the fuck?
No,
kind of
it's
dog
like
is
a little,
it?
I don't know what it is. It's like an all-white dog. I'm not sure what kind of breed it is.
Weird. But sounds hilarious.
He just sits at the gate, like he's just sitting down the whole time, he's just, woo! He's not like, pretty awesome. There's no one around. I don't know why he's doing it.
Just fucking barking at the wind. Up,
all right. Anyway,
dog chat. Good dog chat. Neighborhood dogs, you know?
Neighborhood dogs. We don't have any neighborhood. There's like an old lady with a dog that walks it, but it's a pretty chill dog.
Yeah.
We got a cat that's fucking wanders around like in the back of our yard. There's a fence at the property line, and then right over that, it's like the little stream that runs through, and it just like hangs out around there and like teases the fuck out of our dogs. It's hilarious. It scares the shit out of me because it'll be like hiding. You can't see it, and it'll just like fucking pop out of like a brush bundle and sticks and shit. It scares the
just
fuck
peeks
out of
every
me.
Once in a while.
Yeah, it's like this little black and white cat. Yeah.
Don't mind me.
Fucking bunch of trash cats.
Trash cats.
This is the worst.
Yeah. Well, it's better than groundhogs. Well, maybe. I don't know. The groundhogs moved out, so that's cool.
Groundhogs didn't eat shit. They'd be all right.
They actually didn't touch our garden at all, but I think they fucking got hustled out or fucking kidnapped or something. Brought to the wilderness.
Groundhog ate my fucking watermelon.
That sucks.
Man, are groundhogs like that?
Like, dude, yeah.
Like all over
groundhogs
the place?
Yeah, they're all over the fucking
place.
They're
like fucking deer out here, dude. It's crazy.
Oh, that's weird. It's like,
yeah, they're
it's like such an alien
like, you
animal
just drive
over here.
By, like, yeah, you drive by like any open like grass field, and
they're all like little prairie
you
dogs.
You can usually
all over the
see about three or four of them like fucking around in there.
Really?
there's on the highway. There's so many just like dead groundhogs.
Yeah, on the side of the road
every day.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's all they do is just fucking eat on grass like all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the coyote of the east.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably more common than that. Shit.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's like all I see on the side of the highway out here. It's fucking coyotes.
Yeah, the ones out here are fucking bigger. It's crazy. They look like big dogs. It's scary.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fuck around with those. They ain't my friend.
Well, all right. So this week on Ranks for Nothing.
Fucking Yanks for Nothing.
Yanks for Nothing. We were going to talk about the new Propagandhi album. Propagandhi album.
Is it,
put a new,
is it
Propagandhi
or
Propagandhi?
Yeah,
Propagandhi.
I say Gandhi.
I say Gandhi like Gandhi because that's how it's spelled.
Okay.
I think depending on where you're from, you call them Propagandhi.
It's like Halud, Halud, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. You're fucking Mario type of shit.
Depends on how I want to say it that day.
Yeah. But they put out a new album called Victory Lap. And then the other one was the new Circus Survive album called The Amulet. I don't think we discussed which one we want to talk about first. Do you guys have any preference?
Nah, doesn't really matter to me.
We could do Propagandhi first.
Let's do Propagandhi first. Then.
The Gandhi.
Do the Propagandhi. Sounds like a dance. Like a dance. Yeah, Propagandhi's probably one of my favorite bands, like easily top five, depending on the day. Mm-hmm. They might go number one, they might go number three or four.
Yeah.
But so this album, Victory Lap, came out on Epitaph September 29th. So by the time this comes out, maybe a couple weeks after that. It's their seventh full length. And their first since 2012. They usually have a long break in between albums. Like, I think 3 years is like probably the shortest between their albums. And it's usually sometimes longer than that. And I think it's mostly because Chris Hanna, the singer, main songwriter guy, is kind of like very meticulous about his songwriting stuff. You know, kind of like tools around with it a lot. Like, I guess like perfectionist type of stuff, you know?
Yeah, it takes him like 2 months to figure out a song or something.
Yeah. And then, if you're not familiar with them, they're like a four-piece punk thrashy kind of band from Winnipeg, Manitoba, eh?
Manitoba.
And this is their first album with their new guitarist, Sulin Hago. Hago? I don't know how to say her last name.
Oh, she hasn't always been in the band? I thought she always was.
No, she just joined on this album. The old guy, his nickname was The Beav. I forget what his real name was.
The Beav?
David Goulias.
The Beaver.
He left the band. And not on like bad terms or anything. I think he just left. Like, it was just...
He's had enough.
Had enough. Yeah, he just didn't want to do
the shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what it came down to.
So was he a founding member?
No, he and actually the only founding members are Chris and George, the drummer. They originally were a three-piece, and the bass player left in the late 90s, and then Todd, who's the current bass player, who has like the kind of weird yelly kind of voice, he sings like two or three songs on this album. Mm-hmm. He came in on Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes, which came out in 2001, I believe. Yeah, so he's been around for a while.
Man,
so he's pretty much like there's kind of like the before and after, like the bass player switch, because before that they were a little bit more poppy, like punkish, and after that they got a much more like thrashier. So it's kind of like a before and after Todd type of deal.
Shit.
And I don't think it's necessarily because of him, but that's just like the direction that they were going, and he just happened to show up on that album. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't know these guys have been around since fucking 86.
Yeah, well,
goddamn,
it's one of those things where they started when they were like fucking like 12 years old or some shit. You know
really?
What I mean?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan and Chris were like middle school friends type of deal. So they started a band, and they were been called Propagandhi since then type of deal. You know what I mean?
Fucking nuts.
Yeah, they didn't put out their first album since till like 93.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, How to Clean Everything. So when you think about that, it's closer to like, you know, 24, 25 years-ish. Yeah.
This guy's old as shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the crazy thing, because I don't even think they're like that old. They're probably maybe pushing 50. You know what I mean?
Wait, but, really? Goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think if they were 20
I didn't think
or
they were
so,
that old.
If they were 20 or so when How to Clean Everything came out, that was fucking 24 years ago. So they got to be at least mid-40s, you know?
Yeah, I was expecting early 40s.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
Mm.
But they still fucking bring it, because this is a fucking pretty banging album.
Yeah, I like this. Good. This is the first... I think this is the first Propagandhi album I've ever listened to, like, all the way through.
I was just
going to
say,
like,
I don't think either of you have listened to them.
I've
never
listened to them before.
Yeah. I've heard them, like, obviously from other people listening to them and road trips and tours and cars and shit like that, but I never went out and, like, seek to listen to it on my own. I don't know why. I don't know. But, I mean, I went back and listened to just the last one, the supporting cast. That one's really good. I like that one.
Okay, yeah.
I probably listened to that one the most besides this one, just from other people listening to it. Like, Brent listened to it a shitload all the time. And
Yeah.
Honestly,
They're all really good, and they're all, like, it's weird because even though they still sound like Propagandhi, like all the albums do.
But they're all different.
A little bit different to the first two albums, because just they had the different bass player, and he had like a very, he was the guy from the Weaker Thins. I don't know if you guys ever listened to them. So crazy. He has a very different voice. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very soft-spoken kind of like whiny voice. So like when he would do backup vocals or like take the lead on songs, it had a very different feel to it. So those first two albums are definitely like in a league of their own. And then like, once Today's Empires came out, like they've definitely forged ahead with like a different sound or different enough sound. Like, cause I think like Less Talk, More Rock and Today's Empires, Tomorrow Ashes still have like they still sound fairly similar. You know what I mean? It's not like two completely different bands. But there's definitely been like a progression like throughout their whole career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus you got to put in the timeline of when that album came out, early 2000s compared to like late 90s shit anyway. So
for sure.
They're just
for sure.
Getting with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what'd you think? What'd you think, Matt, since you're not like, you're in the same boat where you never really like listened to them?
It was pretty good. I don't know. Like I'm trying to like compare them to like other bands. They don't really sound like too many other like hardcore punk rock bands.
Not really. No.
No, yeah.
They do have their own sound.
They're their own breed, for sure.
Yeah. But for this album, I don't know, like it kind of has like a dead zone between like songs 2 and 5 for me. Then it starts to pick up on the tail end a little bit.
Okay.
But then I didn't start listening to that extended one that you got. I think you pre-ordered it and got like the little
bonus I pre-ordered songs. The vinyl, the record.
Are those super old songs?
The three of them are cover songs, actually. And then the last song is one of theirs. So, the first of the bonus tracks, the first three are cover songs, I think.
They don't sound like them at all.
No. I think it's like,
this has got to be super old or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Government Issue, maybe. I'm trying to remember the bands. What were they? Oh, yeah. Government Issue is the first two. And then Corrosion of Conformity is Technocracy. Technocracy is a cool song. Of those covers, I like that one the best. Huh. And then Laughingstock is track 16, and that's actually a really solid song.
I don't think I have that one. Mine, that one's on Spotify, it ends. It has a deluxe edition on there, but it ends on Technocracy.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, Laughingstock is like a bonus, and that might even just be because of the because I ordered the album. Like it came with a flexi disc, like a 7-inch, basically, with just that song on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. B-sides.
Yeah. So that song's actually really fucking good. Like that one could have been on the album and it wouldn't have felt weird.
Yeah, it would have blended
in place or anything. Yeah. Like the other ones, the covers are definitely different for sure. Hmm.
But yeah, like I was kind of thinking they blew their load when they were releasing the singles like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause they released that Victory Lap song first and that fucking song is super good.
Yeah. That's a great song.
And sure enough, that's like that's number one on the fucking album. Mm-hmm. But then going through, it's like, man, I'm not really liking anything else besides like maybe number seven, that Failed Imagineer. Imagineer is really good.
Failed Imagineers is probably one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that was one of mine too. Oh, this is the world I brought you into, man. Our robust, no rebel. Shadow my former shell. Sit down with me. Let's have a drink. What have we here? The dread failed Imagineer. This private. Yeah, that's a great fucking song.
So good. Yeah. So, like everything about it, like the riffs, the fucking the lyric, like the melodies and everything, and then like the lyrics and like the message of it's like pretty interesting too. Like it's just a fucking really good song.
They're a pretty political band too. I didn't really notice that going into it.
That's always been their thing. Like that's
because it kind of goes with the name
for it.
For fucking propaganda, Gandhi.
Yeah, they used to get shit for it, and like that's actually why that second album's called Less Talk, More Rock, because people used to bitch that all they would do is like talk about shit. like they were like too political and like
That's only their second album though. It's funny that they like buckled
that's what's
that
fucking
soon.
Hilarious. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like 3 years between two albums too, so like on tour and shit like that. But yeah, they've always been super political, super far left, like socialistic type of shit, and very like they're vegan, so there's that they throw in there too, and it's funny because like the whole vegan thing is interesting to me because like I think if it came down to it, like if I had to kill my own like animals and stuff, I probably couldn't do it.
No, same here.
it's too easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's a really shitty excuse. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
if it was for survival shit, I would, I guess, adapt. But
yeah, I think so too.
I wouldn't like it.
No, I'd be living off canned food as long as I could.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah,
so
it's just like, it just sucks because like on like a moral issue, like I totally get it and I totally understand and like. Yeah, I don't know. It's just laziness and ease. It's so easy.
Yeah, pretty much. You gotta eat. So fuck. Man.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, yeah. Propagandhi's like I said, one of my favorite bands, and like for many of reasons. One is like their political message. Like I've always identified like and connected with a lot of what they say. And like they've always been a band that it takes a while to sink in. Like they had like in the earlier ones, they had like. It was a little bit more catchier, you know what I mean? And like especially like Less Talk, More Rock. Like there was and the other thing about them is them being Canadian and they're big hockey fans as well. So like that's kind of found their way into some of their songs. So I remember the first song I ever liked about them was the song on Less Talk, More Rock where it says Jesus Saves, Gretzky Scores, and it's just it's a fucking great song, and that was like the hook. Like, you know, this came out with 96. I probably heard it in like 97 or so, and this is when we were playing hockey, and I heard that and I was like, what the fuck is this band, you know what I mean? The hockey you know, hockey's not found in punk bands, like what is this? And then so I was like, what the fuck? And then like I got hooked on that, and then I got like rolled into everything else. So ever since then I've just been like a huge fan, and one of my favorite songs by them comes off of I think it was on, I forget if it was on Supporting Cast or Failed States. It's on Supporting Cast called Dear Coach's Corner, and it's basically like addressing Coach's Corner is a part of hockey in Canada, Hockey Night in Canada, where Don Cherry and Ron McLean talk about fucking bullshit for like 20 minutes. And it's just like, Don Cherry is this fucking crazy ass old motherfucker that's just batshit nuts and has like totally outdated views on everything. and he gets a platform to just talk shit for like 15 minutes. and basically like they just, sometimes it gets like on hockey and sometimes it goes off the rails and they're talking about other bullshit. So basically the song's just like addressing them saying like, why the fuck are you bringing up bullshit about nationalism and you know, the military in a fucking hockey game. It's just like, so that's a really cool song. Not only just because of like the, like what it's about, but just the song in general is fucking awesome. But, they've always like, I've always liked them because like listening to them was, you almost get like an education from listening to them. Like you dive in and it's like this whole experience rather than just like music. There's like so many levels to this band. Like they have like the musicianship that's fucking great. Like they're all fucking beasts at their instruments. Like Chris Hanna, back when they were a three piece, like if you watch old stuff, like he double track guitars on recordings and he would be like kind of playing both guitar tracks live when they were a three piece. It was fucking nuts. Like he'd be like hitting chords and then using other fingers to do fucking the leads. It was insane. And Jord, the drummer, is probably one of my favorite drummers. He just knows he can play like a motherfucker when he needs to, but he also knows just like when it's just cool just to do a straight up fast beat, you know what I mean? He doesn't overdo it unless he wants to overdo it, which is fucking cool. And then the bass player has always been good. I like Todd's bass playing better than the old guy. What's his name? Samson. I forget his first name.
John K. Samson.
John Samson. Yeah. But yeah, and a new girl, she fucking wails too. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I think, yeah, Failed Imagineers, which you mentioned earlier, is probably my favorite in the first track.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of really good songs on this, and they're also a band that it not that it takes to sink in, because they have that like impact of like their punch of the songs, you know what I mean? Mm. Like it's not like they're like boring or anything, but sometimes it takes a while for a song to like really hit home.
Yeah.
With me. And yeah, I think outside of those two, track 11, Tartuffle, is probably one of my favorites on the album. The message is kind of cool because like the lyrics and stuff, it's like, that's the one where it says single moms to the front, like a bunch. And it's kind of an interesting thing because it's all about kind of like the kind of slacktivism that goes on where people just like preach about shit like, oh, this and this and this, but they're just doing it from their fucking phones or their computers and they're not really doing anything. So it's kind of like calling attention to like the selfish way of like being an activist, you know what I mean? Which is kind of interesting and a little oversaturated. But how it's all just really kind of just for show. But yeah. But there's a lot of songs on here that I liked. That one, Tartuffle, was good. And I think Letters to a Young Anus is a really cool, like, just because it's straight up like thrashy punk shit, which the music on that's really cool. But yeah, I don't know. What about you guys? Sean, you said you've been listening to this a lot, right?
I was.
What'd you think? How'd you think about it? How'd you feel about it?
Did I think about it?
How'd you think about it?
I thought about it pretty good. Yeah. No, but it got me into liking and listening to their other shit. Like I went back and listened to Supporting Cast. That's the only one I've listened to so far, actually, like all the way through voluntarily.
Okay. Cool.
It's really good. The off timing shit is totally fucking cool. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the technicality presence of it is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's got some like pretty heavy, not heavy stuff, I guess, but just like, just fucking kind of metal as shit, kind of riffs.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you could say.
Yeah, they were always kind of like metal heads disguised as a punk band.
Just playing punk, yeah. They're just riffing. Yeah, it's really good. Like some of his vocal stuff is a little weird on this
one. Yeah, that's always been a thing with them, too.
Yeah, I feel like that's the case. Like, some, like, half-spoken word type of shit. Like, in that second track.
Yeah, they've had this, like, always had this weird, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic kind of, like, humor to their lyrics sometimes.
It's, like, spoken for a reason.
Like, it's like a sarcastic way of singing, you know what I mean? Like, that's why they do that type of shit.
It sounds cool, though. He's, like, he's got a good talking voice and singing voice, I think.
Yeah.
So it blends really good. But other than that, it's good. I mean, I'll probably start listening to their older shit. Like, I'll probably go in reverse order, honestly.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if you like this album, I would go in reverse order. And then,
Supporting Cast is good. I've listened, like, it's funny, I put that on last week or two, and I was like, oh, I fucking know this album. And I, like, never really voluntarily listened to it, because I've heard it so much.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, like, a lot of the songs off of that one. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know what's before that. I can't remember if I heard that.
Yeah, Failed State was the most recent, and then, what the fucking one you were just talking about?
Supporting Cast.
Yeah. Supporting Cast was before that, and then Potemkin City Limits was before that one. And that one's good. Like, when that one first came out, I wasn't too crazy about it, but it's grown on me a lot over the years, like, to the point where it's up there with some of my favorites. Like, there's a couple songs on there that are just really fucking good. And then Today's Empires, Tomorrow's Ashes is probably my favorite of theirs. And and then Let's Talk More Rock is different, but it's still really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And the only one that's, like, weird is How to Clean Everything. That was their first one. And it's just, like, it's just weird because it's so different.
It's gotta be,
like,
it's very shit too.
Yeah, it's very, like, punkish, thrashish, like, snotty kind of punk, you know what I mean? Like, fast, like, short songs.
Crust punk shit.
Yeah, and it was recorded, like, literally with, like, a tiny little fucking, like, 10-inch, or, like, one of those, like, 12, 15-inch Ampeg, like, Line 6 type of deal. Not Line 6, because Line 6 wasn't really a thing.
Oh, like, but, like,
that's what it was.
Amps?
Like, it was, like, it was literally, like, the whole album was recorded in, like, 2 days type of deal, you know what I mean?
Probably.
It was, like, one of those type of deals. But,
probably had, like, three microphones for everything.
And, yeah. Like, even, like, I'm not even a big fan of that album. Like, there's a couple songs where I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I will never really pick that album up and be like, I want to listen to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Let's Talk More Rock is great. And everything after that is fucking great, too.
But, yeah, I got to go back and check some out now. Because this album definitely got my attention.
Interest. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Piqued your interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I never gave him a shot before.
I was going to say, if you like some of the more melodic stuff of their newer albums, Potemkin City Limits is probably the more melodic of the newer albums.
Okay.
So if you're into that type of stuff, I'd go back to that one. Today's Empire, Tomorrow's Ashes is kind of similar with this one. Like, it's got its mix of, like, kind of heavier songs and then the more melodic songs. And I think Failed States was a little bit heavier than Supporting Cast. Supporting Cast is kind of a little bit more like this one, too. But, yeah.
Good to know.
Good to know. Yeah, the other song I wanted to mention was When Your Fears Collide. It's one of the top songs. Bass player sings, and I'm pretty sure he wrote it too. The bass and guitar work is really neat on that, and that verse riff is, like, super fucking weird and, like, kind of, like, off time, not really off time, but just, like, in a different time. Like, it's just, like, the pattern of the guitar work's a little different. It's, like, super fucking, it's, like, oddly catchy because it's just, like, it's so weird but, like, it's like, whoa, that was fucking cool.
That last song is actually really good too. That Adventures in
that
Psychosis.
Is a really good song. Yeah.
I think that might be, like, the first song I've heard that does, like, a little audio cut of, like, President Trump in there. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I heard that, it kind of threw me off. I was like,
oh
fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it did, like, the whole, like, grabbing pussy audio thing.
Yeah, and then the
I was like,
the wall
I forgot.
Shit.
I forgot he fucking said that shit. It's so fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was not shit. Even, like, a year ago that tape came out.
And now he's our president.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's fucking nuts.
Ugh. How the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, right.
Jesus Christ.
That song, the second to third to last one, that Latin in flagrante.
Oh, yeah.
That song's fucking killer, too. That
is a really
good
song.
Yeah. I looked up the meaning of it. It's like something blaze. Hold on, I just had it. In blazing offense.
Okay.
That's what it means. Hmm. It's essentially a very act, the very act of wrongdoing.
Yeah, cool.
Especially in an act of sexual misconduct. You just had to get your hands upon this novel creature's flesh. The neurochemistry of all profound regret. Trust me, kid, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh. All the ridiculous things and service of self-esteem.
That whole song's a little weird, and that's part of the fun of Propagandhi, is like reading the lyrics along. Because like, I remember like even some of their old albums that I like thought I knew the lyrics to, and then you actually read along with it, and you're like, holy shit, this song's about something completely different.
It's like, what the fuck? There's a lot more to this song than that.
Yeah,
yeah. I haven't dug that much deeper into it, but I know as much as their lyrics are kind of fucking all over the place.
Yeah. He's very, I guess, meticulous with his lyrics. Let's put it that way.
Does he have like a fucking like English major or like?
No, I don't think so. I think
masters
he's just
or something.
I think he's just a really fucking well-read dude. He just,
I guess so. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just
that's
like
crazy.
Very like activist-like. So he just like knows. He just likes knowing information type of thing. You know what I mean?
Knows a lot of words.
Like, likes being informed. Put it that way.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, it's crazy because like there's a song on here where he even calls out Christopher Hitchens, who's like the guy that's basically like very anti-religion and anti-God, and he even calls him out, but not for that, but for something else that he wrote about, like Christopher Columbus and like the indigenous people stuff. Like,
oh, I remember. Yeah, I heard that.
Like, yeah, he Columbus wrote something. He wrote something back a while's kind of not straight up defending Christopher Columbus, but just like saying like, hey, he's not that bad type of deal, and he straight up was like, no, man, he's fucking that bad.
Was he?
Yeah. He pretty much like. Oh, okay. Raped and killed a lot of Indian and natives and stuff and all that shit.
Oh,
yeah, he was.
Look at that.
Yeah, he was. And he wasn't.
I think I've heard that before.
And he wasn't even looking for this country. He was looking for something else and just stumbled upon it. Like it wasn't. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he wasn't even the first one to discover America either. Like that's the other crazy thing.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard that before.
He gets a lot of praise and it's like unjustified. Is basically what it comes down to. Mm. But all right, that's enough of this fucking album.
But, yeah, for this shit.
Yeah, it's one of those bands that I can just sit and talk about for fucking hours. So
they cover a lot of realm. Like,
yeah, so if I don't stop myself, it's just going to keep going, guys.
That word vomit going.
Yeah. So the other album was Circus Survive, The Amulet.
Amulet. Yeah.
It's a red room. Have you ever been asleep? Keep it up to see you unfold. Inside the catacomb, the marble's colder than ice. I let you down, lit with the separate hand. I see into your world. You make no effort to hide the tourniquet. Candles in a song ring will dance. You don't have to leave.
This came out, was it the same day? I don't have the date when it came out, but I think it came out late September.
Trying to find it.
Man, I always wanted to name up
September 14th.
Amulet. Fuckers.
September 14th. So it's been out a little bit longer. This came out on Hopeless Records. It's cool to see Hopeless still putting out albums.
Yeah.
And like,
I saw that
albums.
And I was like, oh shit, what a weird fucking band to have beyond that label.
And they're putting out good albums too. Like fucking the band Trophy Eyes, they're from Australia, put out an album on there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Last year. And that's still, I listen to that all the time. Like it's one of my favorite albums from last year. And but yeah, Hopeless is still going strong, which is cool. Cool to see.
Oh, we know.
But yeah, this is Circus Survive's sixth full-length album.
Yeah. Came out on the 22nd. Yeah, I was wrong.
Oh, okay, 22nd. Same thing. Whatever.
Whatever. 1 week.
1 week's different.
Week before.
But yeah, they're like a five-piece. I don't know what you want to, how you describe them. Like indie rock, spacey.
Progressive rock or something. Or
kind of post-hardcore-ish. I don't know how the fuck you would.
Yeah, kind of an odd.
Experimental indie rock?
Yeah, they're just fucking a weird band. Yeah. I always forget. I was telling Matt earlier that I forget that they're from Philly, or like the majority of them are from Philly.
Yeah, it's dudes from this day forward.
Yeah, that's what's nuts.
Colin and Brendan.
Yeah. Man, I remember I was so pumped about this band because the dudes from this day forward.
Yeah.
And the dude from Sayo's in, we're like, what the fuck? This band's going to be the shit. And then it wasn't anything.
Was
it wasn't anything I expected. But it
was not at all.
So fucking good. So good still. Yeah, Jude Turner is still one of my favorite albums of theirs, easily. And this album, it's good. It's nothing too crazy or new. Like it sounds like a Circus Survive album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep.
You know what you're getting into.
Yeah, it's solid. Yeah, exactly. You kind of know what you're going to get.
It's got a couple really good songs, and some of them, like the first song, is really good.
Yeah,
and the next couple tracks are kind of like, it's Circus Survive, nothing crazy.
Yeah, like 1 through 5.
And then that fucking Stay song kicks in.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the one with like the bass, the next song after Stay, hold on, I wrote it down. Rites of Investiture.
That one's really good.
That song is so fucking good. It's got that break with that distorted bass.
Yeah.
And after that, I was like, God damn, they need to write more shit like this.
Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah.
It's like heavier, but like...
But like groovy heavy.
Yeah. It's so like, fucking good.
It's almost like Frotus type of shit. I don't know if you guys ever went back and listened to Frotus, but it is kind of like that.
I've heard them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's fucking... Those songs are fucking so good. But
yeah. For the most part. That Stay song's great. That's probably my favorite on the album, for sure.
Yeah. Was that the single also?
I don't know.
I feel like that was.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Maybe not. Maybe the first track was.
Yeah, the first song definitely was. They got a music video.
Yeah, I like that. Familiar. That first song's really good. And that second song is good too. I like those first two.
Yeah.
And then I think my other favorite outside of those is track 10, The Amulet, like the title track.
Yeah.
Dude, that was my next one too.
It's a solid closer. Good song in general too. Mm-hmm. But what about you, Matt? What do you got?
No, I feel the same way as you guys. It kind of the first song starts off really good, then like tracks 2 through 5 is just kind of like bleh.
What
it's like whatever
song am I on?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like they should have like flipped the tracks like in reverse. Like 6 through 10 should have been like the beginning.
Yeah, or like spread them out a little bit more.
Yeah. So it's like all lumped in at the end.
Kind of goes up and down a little bit.
Yeah. It's kind of like how fucking the Propagandhi album was for me. I feel like it's kind of like the same thing.
Both same is the
thing.
Word.
Same a thing, man. But yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's not a whole lot to say about this.
No.
Like it's a really good album, especially if you like Circus Survive.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony Green is a fucking powerhouse on the microphone. Dude, fucking, it's crazy how much of an impact he has on bands. Like, you listen to Sayo's In with him and Sayo's In without him, and it's like two completely different bands, even though the rest of the band is exactly the fucking same. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. Like, how much... It really shows the power of, like, how a good frontman can really change the sound of a band. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts. He's a testament to that folk show.
Yeah. But,
yeah. It's a good album.
But yeah. It's not their best. Probably, and it's not worst.
It's not my favorite. Yeah.
Kind of just falls in the mix.
I didn't even know they put out two albums before this. So.
Yeah, I was saying, we were saying the same thing earlier. Like, I think I remember listening to the last one, that Deska, whatever it was called.
I didn't even know about that one.
Decennis?
Descensus? Sure. Descensus? I think I remember listening to that one, but not like to the point. Yeah, but not to the point where I was like, oh, I want to listen to this again. It was just like, I think I remember it coming out and I listened to it and then I just forgot about it. But I don't remember it being bad. Like it was Circa Survive, you know?
Yeah.
And then that one before that, I don't remember listening to at all. Violent Waves.
Violent Waves.
Violent Waves, yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, it's nothing special. Like, I feel like Blue Sky was like the last really good
one. Blue Sky Noise was dope.
Dude, that one's probably my favorite.
Yeah, that one's really fucking good.
It's so fun. Because that one stands out. That one's not like any other album.
It's a little bit different.
It's different in some way. It's like slower, but not slower at the same time. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. And I'm Letting Go was all right, but Juturna was fucking good.
It was a repeat of Juturna.
Yeah, it was like Juturna, but with better production.
Two.
But not as interesting. Like I feel like Juturna worked because it was kind of raw, and it was like...
Yeah, I'll Let It Go had one or two good songs, and then the others is just kind of blah.
Yeah. But
good stuff. I gotta go back, and I haven't listened to Juturna in fucking... Actually, a really long time.
That opening track with that kick drum, boom, tackum, tat, tat, like... It gets me every time. Like, it just gets me pumped. It's like, don't say a word. Like, every time that fucking kicks, I'm like, I'm fucking on board,
I forgot
man.
About that. Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird
Six
opening
to midnight.
Track. Yeah, it's like, it's weird because it's not like a very high energy opening track, but it gets me every time. I'm just fuck yeah. It gets me, like, I'll
get you in the mood to listen to it.
Loving this album already. You know what I mean? like, even after listening to it, I don't know how many fucking times, like, when that kicks on, I'm just like, fuck yeah.
About to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Yeah. So it sounds like the unofficial ranks for nothing is Juturna number one or Blue Sky Noise number one.
I don't know.
Oh shit!
They're neck and neck.
And then
I feel like Juturna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Juturna.
I think I take Juturna.
Just because it was like so new and never heard nothing before.
Yeah. It was like it's
at
the
that
nostalgia
point.
Thing.
I don't think I ever fucking listened to anything like that when it came out in 2005, 2004.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Because I remember when they released the demos, that might have been 2004.
Did we release demos for this? That was like Seosin.
I remember
a bunch of EPs and demos.
No, there was one track.
Yeah, I don't remember the demos. I don't remember the demos.
Oh, really? Fuck. And like all they had was, I know this because I was at your apartment, Mike. Your first apartment with Jen after we moved.
Yeah.
I remember I was on the computer and all they had was to listen to it was like, CircaSurvive.com, and you went to the website, and it was just a fucking play button. That's it.
That's cool.
And that was like the first time I heard it. I was like, dude, from this day forward, have a new band. Fuck yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird because it was the drummer from this day forward, but he played guitar in Circa Survive.
Yeah, now he plays guitar. Colin Frigian Natty or some weird fucking Italian last name.
Yeah. Man, this day
they only have the one album.
Good.
Yeah.
From this day forward.
What? In
response? They had.
There was one before
they had,
that.
Yeah. They had an EP called Kairos.
Yeah, that one was good.
That's when I got into them. And then before that, they had Transient Effects of Light on the Water, which was a full length.
No.
I never really listened to that one. I remember listening
to it. Dude, it sounds like fucking Converge. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was never like a huge fan because it was like
super
heavy.
It was super
heavy.
Yes.
And, I was much more in response fan.
Oh, yeah. But all across the board, they're fucking probably my number one fave. They're pretty solid.
Yeah,
real good. I'm fucking bummed they still haven't done a fucking reunion.
Surprised they haven't.
Yeah, but I'm not. I kind of like when bands don't do reunions now.
They should have done. They should have did one
thing.
Like. Oh yeah, nowadays yeah, but they should have did one like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And then it would have been cool.
Yeah.
But
I'm over that. I'm over it. Stop getting back together, guys. Just fucking.
I'd rather them do that than try to put out a new album. It sounds like shit. Like.
Yeah, I guess I would rather that
fucking
too.
Fucking movie life.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I would rather them just do like a couple like a tour rather than putting out a new album. The only album that I think has like been successful in that whole phase is like that At the Drive-In album. That's really the only one.
Oh,
coming back.
Reuniting
like
bands type of shit.
Like bands that are gone for 10 years and then come back with a new album.
Good.
Yeah.
It's the best of those, but it's still like not that great.
Yeah,
the
it's still not like
the best.
Yeah. But it's better than most others. But yeah. All right, moving on. The Bronx album, The Bronx number 5, is fucking super good. I can't feel nothing no more. That must mean you're cured. Can't tell the roof from the floor. If I fall asleep tonight. We were probably,
I haven't listened
to that
band.
We were teetering on the idea of reviewing it, but there's just so many albums. But I've been listening to that a lot. And I had the same thing with them. Like, I love that fucking first album they put out. I love the second album they put out. And then the third and fourth one, I was like, meh. I don't know what it was.
Kinda
maybe
got
I just
burnt out
wasn't
on a little
in the
bit.
Mood for them. Yeah. And the third one was a little weird. So, like, it wasn't bad, but I still listened to it. And then the fourth one, I think I maybe listened to it once or twice, and I was just, like, not feeling it. But this one's fucking really good. Like, yeah, I really cool. like it. And,
I never listened to him.
Yeah. Ever?
The Bronx in general?
Yeah.
Like, ever? Oh, man.
Maybe a few songs here and there, but that's about
it.
Yeah. They're good.
Never got into them. I don't know why.
Yeah, they're like, they don't sound like an old school punk band, but they have like that fucking flair of an old school punk band. You know what I mean? They're just very in your face.
Maybe I'll check out the new album.
Fucking rock and roll, like LA fucking shit.
It's
you know what I mean?
Thrash punk.
Yeah, it's like
shit,
dirty punk.
Yeah, tone
not
wise.
Even thrash. Just, I don't know what the hell you call it. It's just like fucking, it's just like straight up. And then like they started getting into this more like, it's like now, like in the second album, they started it. It's like, they almost have like a bluesy kind of vibe to them. Like it's like bluesy punk, you know what I mean?
Weird.
And
it's just like rock
like
and roll
now,
shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like bluesy rock and roll, but like with the punk edge to it. But yeah, it's fucking good. Yeah,
listen,
faux show.
Listen to it a couple times when it first came out, and it was pretty good. But I kind of just had it playing in the background. I wasn't like actively listening to it, so nothing really stood out. But
I feel like that's
there's
type
a
of
couple
band.
Songs on it.
I feel like that's a
There's a couple songs on it that are really fucking good.
They're fucking good as shit live, though. Have you ever seen them live?
Yeah,
I've seen them two or three times live, and I've gotten to see them free every time. I don't know how, but I've like. I think they had a free show one time, then like fucking. I think Sarah.
I remember
got
that.
Us into one show.
Yeah, I think I remember
that's
that.
Funny. Did you go to that show at the dive bar with me?
Dive bar.
That they played? This was like early on in their career. Like maybe their first album was out only.
Oh, I don't think so.
Maybe the second one was out. But anyways, I was taking pictures I was taking a photography class in college. It was like freshman year of college or something. Maybe sophomore year. And I had like a black and white photography like film class. And I was taking pictures of them. And like one of my favorite pictures I've ever taken was that night of the guitar player from the Bronx. And it's just like such a fucking awesome picture. It's like, like when I look at it, I'm like, that's the fucking Bronx. You know what I mean? It's like one of those pictures.
It's funny. Do you still have it? Do you have a copy of it?
I think I do. Yeah. It's around somewhere.
That's cool.
Maybe I'll ruffle it up and scan it and put it on this if I can find it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was around the same time. Remember we did those pictures of you guys in the desert? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was around time.
Our little long hair photo shoot.
Yeah. Dude, I want a...
Of us?
Yeah, you remember that shot?
Yeah, you guys had the guns.
Was it
at our parents' house?
No, this was in Vegas.
It was at the rental house.
It was in Vegas.
I think you were up for the weekend or something like that. It was when you were living there.
Yeah, it had to be when I was living there.
Yeah.
So this is when me, you, and
Joe. When I had my rifle. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
We had our fucking Canadian tuxedos and everything.
Yeah. That was also the same semester I took a picture of you when you got your wisdom teeth out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's when I was living there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I won a school thing for one of those pictures of you guys, like that series. Like I did a series of
that's
six.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I won like a free camera.
Yeah, I gotta see the pictures because maybe then I'll remember because I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I think I won like a free camera and some other shit. It was pretty cool.
Damn, really? Damn. That's cool.
Yeah, it was like a cheapy, it wasn't like a really nice camera. It was just like a cheapy film camera.
It's a throwaway.
No, it wasn't a throwaway. It was like, it's one of those cameras that's like, it's kind of known for being like, it just does weird stuff. You know what I mean? It's almost like an Instagram filter camera. Like it takes pictures that are very, like, they look like they came from that camera, like a very distinct look to the pictures.
Yeah. Weird.
You took a picture of me like hitchhiking on that little back road.
Yeah. Yep.
Had my titty hanging out.
Yep. Titty hanging out. Yeah, I got those pictures somewhere. I got to dig them up.
Yeah, I don't remember that shit at all.
That's funny.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. All right. You guys got anything else to add? Move on to movies and shit?
Yeah, I'm over that shit. Right.
Yeah,
I got some more music I've been listening to.
Fucking lightning round. Do it.
Ooh. Other than that, I normally listen to a lot of death metal, believe it or not. The Black Dahlia Murder put out a new album this past week.
Yeah, is it?
It's so fucking good. Oh my God.
Does it sound like their other shit?
Kind of. It's more thrashy. You kind of might like it. I don't know. They're so fucking good. They're so talented. And it's just like American. It's like if Darkest Hour was like a full fucking death metal band. That's pretty much what the new album sounds like. It's damn. Fucking great.
Yeah, I never really got into them. I might give it a listen though.
Dude, yeah.
It's been a while.
It's fast as fuck, but it's really fucking catchy. It's insane.
Huh.
There's another band called Archaic. They put a new album out recently. They're really good. And then this band called Exhumed.
I never liked that band.
The vocals are, the music's really good. I never really got into them.
That's the band. They got like those really like like low fucking growl vocals, don't they?
No, a little bit.
Who the
not
fuck
really.
Am I thinking of then? There's another band that's got a name kind of like that where it's like.
This band like kind of does
that. I hate
kind
that
of does that.
I fucking hate that shit.
And then there's like, they have another, I don't know if they have another dude. Yeah.
Fucking growl.
Fucking Cookie Monster. But there's another dude that's like, I don't know if it's a different vocalist, but it's almost like just like a weird, not like butt rock yell, but it's weird. It's hard to explain.
Good old butt rock yell.
Yeah. But they're all right. Both of those bands, Archaic and Exhumed, are coming here.
Oh, okay.
In November. I'm pretty fucking pumped on it. Other than that, that's pretty much all I listen to, besides all the shit that we listen to for this, honestly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
good tunes.
I think that means it's pick of the week time, bitches.
Oh, shit.
Woo!
All right, who wants to go first? Have I gone first yet on Pick of the Week?
Nah, go for it.
All right. Pick of the Week is going to be, I went and saw Mother in the theater.
Mother!
And
I heard that movie's been like shat on.
It's a very polarizing movie. And I totally understand why people would hate it. And I totally understand why people would love it. And it's a crazy ass fucking movie.
Did you like it?
I fucking loved it. That's why it's pick of the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I guess so.
It's not shit of the week.
That makes sense.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not dump of the week. But like the whole, my inner dialogue, like watching this movie was just me saying what the fuck to myself for like 2 hours straight.
Just over and over.
And like, and as the movie goes on, it just gets more ramped up, like crazier and crazier. Like the last half hour is just fucking like, you're just assaulted by just like, senses, like everything's just going crazy. And there's like a 20 minute sequence where like the house is kind of getting like overtaken, and it's just fucking insane. Like as I was watching it, I was just like, not only is it like crazy, like the content that's happening, but just like imagining how they shot it and put it together is just like this crazy feat of filmmaking. Just like seeing how everything goes together and all these moving parts that are like feeding off of each other. It was just like, what the fuck? This is insane. Like on like you're almost in awe of it. You know what I mean? And, but it's like the filmmaking wise, that's kind of how I felt about it. It was just like crazy to watch. It was just like, so kind of like this slow build that just piled on. And it's just like a boiling pot that just like, eventually it spills over and you're just like, holy shit. But it's by Darren Aronofsky, and if you've seen his movies, you should kind of know what you're getting into because you know
it's kind of known for that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. This one is a little bit like tone wise, it's kind of like Black Swan with a little bit like of The Fountain thrown in there. You know what I mean?
I love The Fountain.
Yeah. And as far as like the whole movie goes, like it's kind of reminiscent of like Rosemary's Baby a little bit. Not because of like the same exact story or anything, but just like the feel of it and like that type of horror is similar to like the horror that's in this. Even though I wouldn't really call Mother a straight up horror movie, but it definitely has like it's not a horror movie either. You know what I mean? It's in this weird zone where because it's not like jump scare horror. You know what I mean? It's like that old, like that's where like Rosemary's Baby kind of comes in, where that's not like scary, but it's one of those like psychological, like you think about it and you're like, oh, that was fucking weird. And it's like lingers, you know what I mean? Like that type of horror.
Yeah. I kind of want to see this film, but I just don't know like what the hell I'm getting into. I don't think I've seen any trailers for it.
And honestly, that's the best way to see this movie.
Is it? Like, all right, cool.
Just go in cold and just know you're going to go for a ride. And that's really the best way to do it. Like it's one of these movies. Like we've talked about this before, but like, I love movies that make you like feel something, you know what I mean? And you definitely feel something with this movie. Like it, I don't know if you guys watched Antichrist yet, but definitely left me with a similar feeling of watching Antichrist, where it was just like this pulsing anxiety in like cinema form. You know what I mean? It's just like,
shit.
It's so weird. Like the whole time. Yeah. But it's like just very visceral and uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But if you don't know anything about it, like the short of it is, it's basically Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence are in it. And without giving really too much of the plot or anything else away, for lack of a better device, they're basically working on a house. Like they're in a house and they're kind of fixing it up. Javier Bardem is a poet and he has writer's block, and she's his wife and is doing most of the work trying to fix up the house and like trying to get it going. He's lived there for a while and it burned down and they're trying to like, or there was like a fire and he's trying to fix it back up. And then weird things just start happening and like random people like show up at their house. And at first she's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And then it just gets more what the fuck as the movie goes on. But like I said, I don't really want to just go in cold and, you know, like originally I went in thinking it was like a cult movie, like it was going to be like a culty type of movie. You know what I mean? But and there's elements of that, but even that's like would be brushing it off as like too simple. Like it's a much deeper movie. And there's some shit in there that's like, it was cool because I went in cold and then I watched it, and the whole time I'm watching and I'm like, what the fuck is going on, and trying to put two and two together. And then so after that I went back and I read some interviews with Darren Aronofsky talking about the movie, and he started talking about shit, and then I started putting more together and I'm like, oh fuck, because of that. And I'm like, oh shit, you know what I mean? So it's like, now I want to watch it again knowing kind of what it's about, you know what I mean? Or knowing like the deeper meaning to it. So this is definitely a movie that I will be watching again for sure. And it's crazy. But like I said, I could totally see why people don't like it, because it's not, the beginning of it's a little slow and it's a very drawn out, slow build movie. And then the end is just like an eruption. Like it's just like everything comes to a head. But so like if you don't, it's very much like an art housey kind of film. You know what I mean?
I was kind of like, I was 50-50 on wanting to go see it. So at first, when I heard it was coming out, it was Darren Aronofsky's new film. I was like, oh, okay, sweet. Mm-hmm. And then once the movie did come out and it started getting like shit reviews and good reviews, I was like, I don't know if I really want to go see it now. But what you're saying, it's like, I kind of want to see it again. And then since I finally got my fucking movie pass card, it's like, all right, fuck it, I'm just going to go see it.
Yeah, I think the crutch is, it, like you said, you like The Fountain. If you like The Fountain, I think you'll enjoy this movie. Not that it's like anything really like The Fountain.
No, but it's just like an out there movie.
Yeah, exactly. Just because it's a really fucking weird out there movie. And if you like that, and especially if you like Black Swan, because it's got similar tone. Yeah, it's got similar tone to that, where it's just like a fucking weird, dark kind of movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Did you ever see fucking the Noah movie he did?
Yes, I did.
And that was pretty good too, but that was a fucking out there too.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like this is very much in the same vein as the last couple of movies that he made for sure.
It's like he really made that like Bible story like more fantasy. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. That was cool. I wasn't too sure about that one going in. That one, I was like, I don't know about this one. Just same, you know.
Turned out pretty good.
I left it enjoying it. I was like, that was fun. Like, I don't know if I'd ever really watch that movie again, but
no.
I don't regret watching it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Huh. Yeah. Who wants to go next? Sean, you want to do?
Are we doing pick of the week?
Pick of the week.
Still? Okay. Damn, I got two that are fucking really good. Shit.
You can only pick one.
Well, they're both documentaries, too. Shit.
God damn.
I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go with that Ice Guardians documentary.
Oh, okay.
Dude, that shit was fucking really good.
Nice.
Guardians. So, I never heard of it.
It's about enforcers of the NHL.
Ah.
Yeah. Essentially goons or bullies,
like fighters.
Fighters, whatever you want to call them.
The guys that are getting kind of pushed out of the league.
Yeah, they're just pretty much there for mainly one reason, to fucking fight and stick up for their teammates and get in fights, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And bring momentum and all sorts of emotion and whatnot.
Are they trying to cut down on fighting in hockey now or something?
It's not necessarily that hockey's trying. It's just that that's the way the game's going. Like, it used to be where it was
it's
much more physical. Yeah, now basically it's all about speed and skill. So it's more about scoring goals than it is about stopping the other team from scoring goals. You know what I mean? And
they're just playing like a sport now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been going that way for a while now. And it's like over the past maybe like 5-10 years, there hasn't really been a whole lot of guys that are just there to fight. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I think going back into like the 90s and early 2000s, it was much more prevalent. Like every team pretty much had the fighter guy.
Yeah.
Where now it's like you might still have the fighter guy, but it's a fighter guy that can also skate, and it's a fighter guy that can also score.
He can
and,
also play.
You know, he can also do other shit. So
he's just a bigger, tougher dude.
It's just getting the one dimensional type of player is getting kind of worked out of the league, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy.
It's kind of cool. I'm kind of both sides on it. Like, it's kind of cool, kind of shitty. But in the documentary, they bring up a lot, like, not a lot of concussions, mainly, and injuries are really due from fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
it's
a lot of
from
like,
the hits. Mm-hmm. It's from the speed into the hits. It's mainly against the boards, obviously, and open ice hits.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
And fighting is kind of just like, you know, it's, of course, there's going to be injuries, broken hands, noses, and shit. But concussion wise, like, they explain how a concussion actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the brain rattling in the skull, like sideways, like counterclockwise against the skull, I guess.
Yeah, it's just like the movement.
And
of
that
the
mainly
brain.
Only happens with like a motion hit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fucking cool. Like, it's. It goes pretty in-depth. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
It's got, obviously, different opinions of, obviously, enforcers. There's old enforcers. There's current enforcers.
Yeah, it's just like, it's
or
evolved.
Like, dudes have been out of the league. Yeah, mm-hmm. A couple of years, and that's it. But there's obviously doctors and shit that are on it, too. But
tell
it's really
truth.
Fucking interesting.
Tell the
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tell the truth. I never saw that movie.
It's all right.
All right, I won't watch it then.
Yeah, you're not gonna miss much.
Checked off the list.
That's like the best part is when he starts saying that.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch this for a while, and I remember when it first came out because it's on Netflix now. But I remember when it was first like made.
I never heard of it until then.
Yeah, I remember when it was first made. It was like kind of like a big thing and like the hockey thing, and I was like, oh, I want to watch that. And then I kind of forgot about it until it popped up on Netflix, and just haven't watched it yet.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Maybe I'll have to give it a watch this week. But you're up, Matt. What's your pick of the week?
Pick. I think I'm going to go with... It's a film by A24, which I feel like I'll fucking watch anything by them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a ghost story.
A ghost story.
With it stars Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck.
Okay.
It's pretty much... It's like a little, like... Kind of like a love story of them.
Oh.
Everything I'm about to say is in the trailer, so it's not really giving away much. But
okay. I remember seeing the poster now. Yeah.
Where it's just Casey Affleck in a bedsheet. It's like your classic ghost costume.
Okay.
But because there's not a whole lot of dialogue in this film, so I'm trying to like not give away much, but there's not much to give away. But everything, it shows a lot in the trailer, so I'll just kind of repeat that. But Casey Affleck gets in a car accident and dies, and Rooney Mara is on her own for a little bit. But then, like, the whole story is just focused around Casey Affleck in the bedsheet as a ghost.
Okay.
And he's kind of haunting the house they lived in for a short time, because I think they were just renting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Rooney Mara didn't care for the house very much, and he wanted to stay because the house had history, what he felt. But, he dies pretty quick. I think he dies within, like, 20 minutes of the film. But, it's just him haunting her pretty much. And then it kind of turns into, like, a time travel movie, which is... Not my favorite part of it,
because
it doesn't. I feel like it doesn't really make sense towards the end.
Okay,
but it's a good movie in the way because I remember when we were watching it, I was like, I don't really care for this movie. But then the next day, I was thinking about it, like all fucking day at work. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was so weird.
I like movies like that.
Yeah, so it's like I want to kind of go back and watch it again. But then again, like the movie is like really slow.
Okay,
like there's a whole scene of her eating a pie for like 5 minutes, and it's just her. It's like right after her. It's right after Casey Affleck's character dies, and I think she's just in shock, and she just starts devouring this fucking apple pie. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't let off her for like a good 5 or 6 minutes. So like the first minute, you're like, all right, I get it, and then like it keeps going. And it's like, is this? You start thinking to yourself, it's like, is it going to keep going? And it does. It, like,
bitch is hungry.
Weird. It throws you off.
Hey, pie fucker.
Oh, she's a pie fucker. But it was really good, though. I liked it a lot. I liked it more than I thought I would.
I remember that we have like a little like a more indie cinema around here, and that was playing there, and I was like, oh, that looks cool, and I wanted to go see it, and then it only showed for like a week or two, and it was gone, so then I missed it. So I was like, oh, that looked interesting, and then I forgot about it until now. So
yeah,
I might have to give it a watch now.
Yeah, it didn't last long. It's definitely like an indie art house film.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty good. It's got those long stretches where like nothing's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it for a reason.
Gotcha.
It works out, but it's like, man, it's like I don't want to talk about it too much because it does give away quite a bit.
Yeah. All right. No, I get it. I get it. You don't have to talk anymore. I want to see it. You did your job.
Just stop talking, Matt.
Stop talking.
You're done. Shut the fuck up, man. Turn your mic off. You're done.
There is a cool way of like how he becomes the ghost. Which I don't think, it doesn't really give nothing away. It's just like a cool concept of like why he's in a bed sheet the whole time.
Okay.
So it's like when he dies, you know, the doctor puts over the white sheet.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, he kind of just keeps that like morgue fucking sheet on him the whole time.
That's funny. I wonder if that's how like the idea of the bed sheet ghost.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, is this how it started, or is this just their take on it?
Because that totally makes sense.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It like blew my mind a little bit when he got up.
It's like one of those, like, how the fuck did I never make that connection?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
That's pretty funny.
Sounds like some Beetlejuice shit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt finally got his movie pass. Welcome to the big league.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I've only used it once.
It was pretty easy, right? It's pretty easy to do.
Well, it's easy, but.
It took you like 2 months.
Oh, yeah. It took me a good month.
No, I'm talking about just like the process of getting a ticket.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's kind of problematic, especially for like the theaters here in Las Vegas, because they're all in fucking casinos, and you don't get the greatest reception when you're inside them,
because
you have to be within like 100 yards to check in.
Yeah,
and my phone was just like constantly thinking. I was like, "Fuck, the movie's about to start like in a minute. This thing better fucking load up real quick."
Jesus.
So I had to like hop. I had to like hop on like the free hotel Wi-Fi to get it going.
I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
Because I started thinking about it.
Is it like a thing you have to scan on your phone or something, or what do you have to do?
You have to be at the theater, like 100 yards from the theater to check in.
I wonder if you could do it from like outside. Because we do that like in the parking lot when we're walking in, like we'll check in.
Yeah. I tried doing that, but I parked in the goddamn parking garage, so like reception out there wasn't even better
either.
That's
even worse.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to be fucked here if this is like how it's going to be.
Jesus.
I got it working. I went and saw American Assassin.
Yeah, how was that? It's one of those things where like we've almost gone to see it like 3 times and we just didn't.
I'll just say it's like the perfect movie pass movie. Like I don't know if I would necessarily have paid money to see it.
Yeah.
It was still a good film. Like that's it kind of had like it kind of reminded me of like the action from like Taken.
Okay.
Like, it's like that type of like action gun movie.
Okay.
But then it's kind of got like a John Wick story to it. It's like kind of like a revenge thing.
Yeah, I was getting like a Jason Bourne vibe from it.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like all in that wheelhouse of action movies.
Gotcha. But I still might go see it. We'll see.
I'd still go see it. It was good.
It's more just like we either are like, I don't feel like going to the movies, or like, oh, let's see this instead. Like we almost we were thinking about seeing American Assassin, and then Mother came out, and we're like, oh fuck it, I want to go see Mother. You know what I mean? So it was like one of those things, like something else came out. It was always like the number two movie that we wanted to see, and then the next time we wanted to go to the movie to go see it, I was like, I don't really feel like going to the movies. It's like one of those things.
Yeah, it's a good, like, shut your brain off little dumb action film to go watch. But it might not be the best time if you live here in Las Vegas to go watch it, because it starts off with a goddamn terrorist shootout.
Oh, geez.
And I was like,
Jesus
oh, shit. Christ. And there's only like me and like 5 people in the theater, because it's been out for
that's
a little
fucking
bit.
Rough.
But I was like, there might not be a lot of people watching this right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Goddamn.
How's that been there? Has it been like... Like I know
pretty
how it's
weird
been
on the
there,
strip
but
or
like
what?
Is it like still super somber? Like,
Like the first couple of days, it was like we had our own little 9/11 here almost. Like,
that's
all people talked about. Everyone was just fucking super depressed.
Yeah,
like I feel like no one really talked about it at work, but yet no one was doing their work because I think they're looking at it. They're just wanting to get distracted. As much information
everyone's just
as possible.
In shock. Yeah.
Everyone's just on their phones trying to get story, like news clips and shit. Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. I felt like I didn't work. I probably worked like 2 hours that day. I felt like.
Yeah.
Has the strip been like super fucking mellow or what?
I haven't been on the strip in forever. Definitely haven't gone since this happened. Yeah. But from what I've heard, because I work at that produce company, they do a lot of deliveries on the strip.
Deliveries on there. Yeah.
And from what I heard, I think the strip was shut down between like Tropicana and Russell.
Jeez.
So like Mandalay Bay, Luxor, and Excalibur pretty much like closed off to the public unless you had.
For how long?
Unless you had like a, yeah.
I think it was only like a couple days.
Okay.
I think
crazy though. Goddamn.
Yeah, that is.
I think it went back to normal like by like the Wednesday.
Okay.
After. Because I remember hearing one of the truck drivers came in and he was there Sunday night. I think he was making a delivery at Mandalay Bay. But it was like around like 5 or 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So before.
But he was there like all day because I think there was like a lot of trucks just making deliveries. So he was like in queue just waiting to get his shit unloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And he never got unloaded. And then by the time the shootout happened, he got stuck there for like, I think maybe a day and a half.
Goddamn.
And I think Mandalay Bay like offered him a hotel room until like this whole thing kind of blows over, until like the investigation's over.
That's crazy. So they weren't even letting people out. That's
no,
nuts.
Like you were stuck there.
Oh, he couldn't even fucking like get picked up.
Oh, he could have. Yeah, he probably could have like walked off, but he couldn't like drive off with his truck and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I think that's crazy. He just stayed in his cab for the day.
Jesus Christ.
That's nuts, man.
It was pretty crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. Like even like here, like I just felt like it was like a shock thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like I just never. And it's weird because like just being kind of detached from it, like. It's just, that's kind of how I felt too. It was just like very detached. Like it definitely sucked and I was sad and it was just, but at the same time I was just like I didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean?
What to think about it.
Yeah. It was just this very weird, surreal feeling.
It's bizarre. Crazy. Cause you never think something like that would happen at your hometown.
Yeah, totally. And like,
but then it's still
especially
like,
a
I always,
place like that too.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
That's the thing. It's like, you always think in the back of your mind, like this, like Las Vegas, the strip is like a prime zone to do something.
Yeah, for
at
sure.
any time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just crazy that something actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like mind-boggling, like, how has this never happened before or something like this, you know what I mean?
Yep.
How the fuck did it happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's
nice. The dude who was playing, I can't remember the country singer's name.
Jason Aldean, I think.
Yeah, he was like, I'll never play a show again. Apparently. He's like,
he played fucking Saturday Night Live that week.
Oh, really?
Oh, was that him?
Yeah,
maybe he's not playing any like fests or some shit like that. Someone told me today at school. He's like not playing any big concerts.
That's possible.
And shit.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah. I don't believe him, at least for a while. Fuck.
Yeah, he covered. He did because Tom Petty died that next day.
Yeah.
And,
he did a cover of Won't Back Down on as like cold
that's
open.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, the cold open for Saturday Night Live.
That's fucking killer.
Yeah, it was
I
pretty good.
That up.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. The music was really
did
cool.
You, yeah,
I'm
did
not
you
crazy.
See,
go for it. I was going to say the biggest draw for me with Tom Petty is like his iconic voice. So like he had like a country twang to it. So it just sounded weird. Yeah. But other than that, like it was really cool. But, yeah. What were you going to say, Sean?
Did you see or watch or listen to Derek England's speech before the
game? I watched that whole fucking opening
ceremony. I missed most. I honestly didn't catch. I didn't watch the game because it was on too fucking late here and I fell asleep. But I watched like his speech or before the game. It's weird that kind of cool that he was the one to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe why or how, but
well,
did he live there before?
He started professional hockey with the Wranglers. He was on the Wranglers.
Oh shit. No shit. Damn.
And then he kind of worked the ranks up and he made it to Calgary on the Flames. And then, once he made it big, he kind of bopped around a little bit. He was in Pittsburgh for a little bit. And then, and then, he made it, back to
that's
kind of
cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Damn.
Yeah. So but when he was in Vegas playing for the Wranglers, like he had kids there. So like knowing that he was kind of like a journeyman type of hockey player. I think his family kind of always stayed in Vegas, and he kind of like bopped around.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
They've always just kind of lived there, and that was part of the reason why they took him was because he was like from Vegas. And,
damn, that's awesome.
And
I didn't know
that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was super neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
especially like a player like him to do that because he's, I mean, even fucking 7, 6 out of 10 hockey players barely know he's probably still playing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. He got a goal in that fucking first game, too, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Or in the first home game. Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
A dude that doesn't really, he's a defenseman, so he doesn't really score that much anyways, and he fucking banged one home. That was awesome.
He's got like 6 goals in the last like 3 years.
Yeah.
Something like 700 games or some shit like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Or like 600 games, he's got like 26 goals total.
Yeah. So he doesn't score a lot, but he banged one home. Yeah. It was a fucking rocket. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very emotional game to watch. Like, it was pretty nuts.
Yeah, that would have been fucking crazy to be there in person. God.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Enough of this somber shit. What do we got?
So I finished American Vandal. Let's just get right to the big jokes here.
Fuck that show. I watched like 3 episodes and was like, fuck this.
Dude, right?
No, you still don't like it.
Fucking dude, yeah. Same exact thing. Like, I almost stopped watching it like 4 times. But I got to the point, I was like, now I just want to fucking know.
Yeah, now you want to find out. Yeah.
So just tell me, because I don't care. I don't want to finish it.
It doesn't fucking tell you. It leaves it open.
Yeah. The girl never admits to it.
It's such fucking bullshit. I was so fucking mad.
It's the, like the fucking...
The school body president or some shit?
Yeah, she's like the fucking super nerdy one.
She declined all interviews before they found out and realized it was her.
Okay. I think I know who you're talking about.
So you really don't see her. Or mention of her until like the last episode.
I think
or
I know who you're talking about though. Like I don't know who you're talking about, but I think I remember seeing someone like that.
She was in cahoots with like the counselor at the summer camp.
Okay.
And they were the ones who did it because the dude looks like him, like the same exact build as that Dylan kid.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And they kind of pinned it on just because of that, and the whole thing was like she went there for CPR camp and training, and he signed off on it. To make it look like she did it.
Yeah.
But then they found footage of her at a party. She's like, who knows CPR? Because some kid was joking. She was like, wait. And that's where it kind of led to like, that bitch knows CPR. She's trained.
Gotcha.
And she's, you know, and that's when I kind of dug into it and realized it. But essentially, she doesn't really admit it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
But she like shoots a look and it's like totally obvious.
Yeah. But it's not like clear out in the day.
Yeah. She doesn't confess, but she makes notion that she.
They know it. Yeah. It's obviously putting two together. Yeah. But. Then the last, it pretty much ends with security video footage of that Dylan kid spray painting a dick on that teacher's driveway.
Yeah, pretty much just
like,
fucks
and
himself,
that's the end of it. Yeah, just like, so it's like, oh, maybe he really did do it. Maybe she didn't. It's just like the same looking dick. It's like, what the fuck? God damn it. I hate this shit.
Yeah, that movie.
So dumb.
We have a fucking jamboree going on over there.
I think Lily's getting home.
Don't just shut their mouths.
Damn, it is dark as fuck outside. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Only 7:45.
Shit.
But anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I was watching that bullshit. Thing. Yeah, I watched it and it was just like, I got what they were trying to do and it just got old quick and I was just like, I don't fucking care anymore. Just like fucking stop watching.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
I wish you guys liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not. Yeah, I don't know. It just got annoying to me. Like, I didn't think it was like unfunny. Like, there was parts that were funny.
Totally. Yeah. Yep.
But I just didn't care. Like, I think that's all it really was. I just didn't care enough to finish it.
Yeah, I don't know to care. How the fuck I finished it, but God, it's so annoying.
Hate watched it.
Yeah, it's just fucking like all the acting and God, it was so fucking stupid. It's so silly.
That's funny,
man.
What else?
Anyway.
What else?
But yeah, that's. It was kind of a letdown. I was pretty upset. I just wasted fucking X amount of fucking time.
I think that's why I stopped, because I was just like, I'm going to get very angry if this doesn't get any better.
Yep. And that's pretty much like all the other shit that I watch that's like the real versions of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like all those like confessions things, I just end up getting fucking like mad or pissed off. It's like either they clearly didn't do it and they're pinning them, or they clearly did do it.
And they're getting away with it.
And they're just playing dumb and they're acting like they're getting pinned on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's even worse. That's pretty much like a collection of what this show is.
Yeah.
That's funny. But,
so good.
Leading more on to some dick stuff. Let's keep going with the dicks here.
Let's keep going with the dicks, bro.
Watch that show, Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Nick Kroll's cartoon. So many dicks. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
I've heard great good things about this.
Dickapalooza.
It's really funny. I watched the first 2 or 3 episodes and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm
it
like good. 3 or 4 in. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fucking, it's pretty fucking raunchy and ridiculous.
Super raunchy. Because
it's all like 12, 13-year-old cartoons.
Yeah.
Granted, it's cartoons, but still, it's fucking hilarious.
The crazy thing is, though, like, even though it's like raunchy, like, it's cool because it's very, like, based in reality. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very true, like, obviously it's
exaggerated. Yeah, like, this shit probably happened to someone.
Yeah, it's obviously, like, exaggerated or, you know, to a point. But,
oh, yeah.
But at the same time, like, this is shit that real, you know, tween and teenager kids are going through. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of interesting to see it, like, in all of its graphic bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
because they're, like, all in high school, right?
I think they're either like ninth grade or like the end of middle school, maybe
freshmen's.
Okay.
It's like eighth, ninth, somewhere in that area. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they're like all going through puberty and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's the puberty time.
It's all current stuff too. So like they all have like cell phones and what's his name drops a cell phone in like a toilet. It's fucking hilarious. And then he like gets into the toilet and it's just fucking talking to like little like sperm things and all of the fucking.
I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
yeah, so good.
It's a very trippy cartoon too.
Nah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, the graphics and stuff. It's
it goes
not psychedelic, but borderline.
Yeah, it kind of goes all over the place.
Very fantasy type shit.
Yeah. Is the cartoon like graphic in general though? Like the show?
There's a lot of
private
dicks.
Parts.
There's a cartoon dick. Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's but cartoon dicks.
They actually show it. It's not like under the clothes or something.
No, no, that's
no.
Full
it's
animated
dick. Yeah, just drawn out dick.
I don't think they've shown girl parts.
No.
I don't think
I think they do at some point because someone was telling me about it. But
okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't gotten
maybe
to that.
Just, maybe just dicks. It's sort of like
right now it's just
period
dicks.
Period blood. That's about it. Just a whole lot of dicks.
I've heard something about like a puberty monster they get attacked
by. Yeah, there's a puberty
monster.
Yeah, the hormone monster.
The hormone monster.
Also,
the last episode I saw, the girl hormone monster got introduced.
Yeah, I've watched one or two since then.
Yeah.
So I'm like four or five deep, but...
And she's voiced by Maya Rudolph, which is awesome.
Yeah
and Jordan Peele plays one of the characters, like the ghost musician, like jazz black dude or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking
he
Dizzy
plays
Gillespie.
His voice. Yeah. And then Nick Kroll plays like fucking eight voices on the show. And
yeah,
out,
Nick,
so.
It's oh, like it his, it. It's his show.
It's his thing, yeah.
And the other dude is John Delaney, who's pretty funny too.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I definitely, if you like stupid fucking raunchy cartoon comedy, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been wanting to check it out.
Yeah. And speaking of cartoons, let's keep talking all about segues tonight.
Yeah.
Fucking cartoons. I finally finished up a regular show, the last season. Got put on Hulu a little bit ago, so I finally got caught up with that and watched it. And if you haven't watched regular show, you really should. It's so fucking good. It works on a lot of levels. Like I first started watching it just because like it was something mindless to kind of watch, like just stupid cartoon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think I remember trying that and Adventure Show at the same time, and Adventure Show was all right, but I feel like it tried to do too much, and regular show's kind of the opposite. Like, they do just enough, but they're silly enough and as weird enough to where it makes it still entertaining to me.
Hmm. And, that's one of the animals, right?
Like the it's a blue jay and a raccoon.
Yeah.
And they all work at a park, and it's cool, like, looking back. Because, like, the journey that this show has gone on is fucking crazy. So, like, earlier in the show, it was much more just, like, about friendship and kind of like a coming-of-age type of thing, you know what I mean? Like, growing up and dating and, like, kind of weird shit like that. And then it's gone into, like, this huge overarching theme that's gone way past what it had any, like, business doing. like, almost to, like, a philosophical level. And it's cool because it's very much like a throwback to like 80s like culture at points, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of like Nintendo type of like video game type of stuff going on and like VHS things going on. And it's funny because like throughout the series, like it evolves to like, oh, VHS is outdated. So then they get into laser discs and then like laser discs become outdated. So it's like it's a fun journey with that too. And then everything like always ends in some like weird random epic battle like over something. It's just like it's really cool. And I definitely, if you haven't watched it and you are interested in watching it, stick with it for a couple of episodes. And I was gonna say like five or six, but that sounds like a lot, but the episodes are only like 10-11 minutes long because it's like those half split things, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So stick with it for a little bit, and once you kind of get the humor and you get to know a little bit of the characters, it all starts to click and it's fucking great. Like, I think the second season like and the third season are like high points. And then the rest of it's all pretty steady from there. And then it dips down for like a season or so. But even those ones are the seasons that people don't like are generally the ones that I think are really interesting because it's more like adult theme type of stuff. Mm. And it's not as funny, but it's like a little bit more heady. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's cool. I think they're all streaming on Hulu, like all seasons right now.
Oh, shit.
And I don't know if it's streaming anywhere else. I think Adult Swim has, I think Cartoon Network has a deal with Hulu, so their shit just goes there. I don't think it goes anywhere else.
Oh, really? I thought you could watch Comedy Central stuff on their website.
It's not on, it's Cartoon Network, not Comedy
Central. Or not Comedy Central, sorry, Cartoon Network.
I don't know. Maybe you can. Yeah, maybe you can watch it on their website or something. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But yeah, definitely worth checking out. And it ended like in the best way possible. Like the way it ended was like the perfect way for the show to end. And it was just, it all tied up really nicely and everything was, it was very well done. Yeah. They even make note of like one of Mordecai, the Blue Jays' old girlfriend, CJ. How like it's funny because they're like, oh, I miss CJ. She was a good character. And then, like, because she like disappeared after they broke up. And like someone mentioned it. And I was like, yeah, just I feel the same up. Way. I like CJ too. Because she doesn't come back. And I was like really hoping that she would come back in the like last couple episodes. And she didn't. Spoiler alert. No. But it was fun. Yeah, it was good. Good show. What else? What do we all watch? We all watched that fucking Def Comedy Jam, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. It was really good. I wasn't sure, like, the first, like, 5 or 10 minutes, I was like, I don't know how this is going to go.
I felt the same
way. And then it just kind of just got better.
Yeah.
It was fucking great. It was really good.
I agree. Yeah. Like, I wish...
It was like a award show, but no awards were given.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's just like a big tribute to Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah, that's essentially all it just was. Like, almost like a roast, but like.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I thought that's what it was going to be at first because it kind of started off that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it started just being like, remember this? Appraisal let's check out show. This clip of old Eddie Griffin.
Old Martin Lawrence. Yeah. Yeah, that was fucking great.
The format was so weird. Like, but once I kind of got used to it, it was all right. But I wish that there was more. Just
a montage of shit.
Yeah, I wish there was more of like the like documentary stuff. Like that stuff was cool.
That's what I was hoping for too. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. Like it kind of touched on some stuff, but like I wish it was more just like a almost like sit down interview stuff with like Russell Simmons or some shit. You know what I mean?
I wish it was like that too.
That would have been fucking cool.
Me too. Because there's parts like the live stuff was all right, but it always felt a little too forced. Like it was way too scripted at times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like the
Dave Chappelle shit.
I was just gonna say
because that was like non-scripted at all.
The best part of that whole fucking thing were the unscripted parts, and that part with him and D.L. Hughley
like, ranted. Yeah,
so
yeah.
fucking good.
He just ranted for like 15 minutes of just random shit.
The best.
He was so drunk and or high or something. Yeah, I don't know.
When he's going, he's like, "I read good as shit when I'm by myself."
Yeah,
so good.
Oh man, yeah, that was great. Like, if nothing else, fast forward about an hour into this thing and watch that little, like, 10-minute section. Because it is fucking comedy gold.
Even the Mike Epps one was really good.
Mike Epps was really good.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Yeah.
That was, like, the one right before. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. And then the Dave Chappelle one happened.
Mike Epps, I wrote down a line because it was so fucking funny. He was like, Mike Epps goes, like, a lot of women in here wearing bodysuits.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this show's so good.
He goes, but they looking like a bunch of wrestlers.
Yep, so good.
And then he did
everyone
like a little
crowd just
did
like looked at each other, just fucking lost it.
Yeah, he did like a walk, like impersonating him. And it was so fucking funny. Oh man,
yeah, shit was hilarious.
And then I have two other things written down. For fucking Eddie Griffin had a funny line where he goes after they showed the clip of Eddie Griffin, and he's like, he's up on stage talking about it, and he's like, man, he looked like he on crack.
Yeah, and then he goes, his younger and he goes,
motherfucker look like he need a sandwich. So fucking ridiculous.
So good.
And then there was, I forget who said it, might have been Cedric or someone. And he's like talking about why they hate millennials.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty funny.
Oh,
funny.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, we got emojis too. And then he just starts doing like faces and stuff.
Yeah. It was like that stare down one. Yeah. Like tilt his head.
So good.
Hate y'all millennials because you don't know the fuck we are.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I wish it was more of that stuff, though. I wish it was like more stand-up, like roast type of stuff.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
I feel like half of it was like amazing, and the other half was like fucking watching the Oscars.
Yeah. I was like, man, this could like easily turn into like the player haters ball or something. I wish it would have went down that road. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I wish all the bad things in life happened to you and only you.
Oh, it was cool seeing they did that little tribute to Bernie Mac.
Yeah, that just made me want to watch Bernie Mac specials so bad.
Yeah, I wanted to watch totally. Fucking original Kings of Comedy again.
Yeah.
God, I haven't seen that one in a long ass time. Fuck. Yeah.
So it's like they almost had a little reunion. If it was
they did. Yeah. They should do another one. Dave Chappelle take a spot.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Or Dave that one girl. Like, that one girl was fucking hilarious in the beginning.
Dude,
yeah she's good.
Fucking, what the hell's her name?
Yeah, she's fucking hilarious.
The I'm a lady one? The I'm a fucking lady or some shit?
No, not Adele. It's the other one. I want to say Victoria.
The one with the wig?
That one with the wig is fucking hilarious, too. Yeah, but that's not the one.
Oh, no. She was in the beginning monologue with Chappelle and
yeah, she was the
Cedric.
One out there.
Oh, the bigger chick. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, she was
what the fuck is her name? God damn it. It's going to bother the shit out of me.
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to look it up, too.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is it Adele Givens?
I think
that's a different girl. Adele Givens is funny, though. No, I think it is Adele Givens.
I don't know. I'll look it up later.
I think it was her. Oh, Cheryl Underwood. That's who it was.
Underwood.
Cheryl Underwood. Okay. Yeah. Dale Gibbons is funny, but yeah. Cheryl Underwood's fucking a riot.
Yeah, I never heard of her.
You know what actually surprised me is I'm not a huge fan of Cat Williams, but the little bits
His shit was pretty good.
The little bits that he did on that were really fucking good.
Yeah, it was good. I heard he goes fucking crazy sometimes.
He does, and that's why I'm not like crazy about him. He's just a little bit too out there.
Oh,
but so when he's on, he's on, and that's what's kind of good about him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But. Apparently he's gotten into some fucking like legal shit with like domestic abuse.
Yeah, he's a fucking he's kind of a piece of shit. Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Like
that's crazy. Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of that stuff isn't just like an act. Like he's literally like he's got some fucking like shit. You know,
he's got some issues.
He's got some baggage.
Yeah. He's hiding some shit. I think he's getting like he's all in sorts of like legal troubles nowadays. I think that's why they
That's why.
Like, oh, I'm surprised he even showed up.
Yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah.
When Dave Chappelle said that, he was like, "Oh, there he is."
Yeah. Fucking. Another one that was pretty funny was Dion Cole. He had a small bit. He's the dude that he's kind of deadpan. Like he kind of like it's very like straight jokes, like one liner jokes. And he's on that Netflix stand up thing that came out with like the six little episode thing that came out about a month or two ago.
Yeah, yeah.
His is probably one of the funniest ones on that little bit. And he's on that show Blackish, and he's really funny on that show. If you guys don't watch Blackish is fucking great. That's a great fucking sitcom.
Is that the one with Anthony?
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
That's a great fucking show.
I haven't seen it.
Like, it's funny, and it's also very poignant. Like, it's a very, like, socially aware show.
Oh, really? That's funny.
But it's just fucking, at its root, it's just like a, you know, like a family sitcom type of deal. But there's a lot of other shit going on that make it, like, go above and beyond. But Dion Cole's on that. He plays a co-worker of Anthony Edwards. And it's fucking funny shit. Hmm. But his stand-up is definitely worth... Anthony Anderson, not Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards is the fucking white dude from fucking ER.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anthony Anderson. I was just, every time I said it, I was like,
that's funny.
Right.
I was going to say Anthony Anderson, too. I don't think that's right.
Yeah. But if you haven't watched Blackish, I'd definitely give it a shot. It's a good fucking show. Huh. And especially if you're into like black comedy and like that type of shit too. Like the kind of like if you like Bernie Mac
sounds
show,
like that.
It's a little bit similar to that. Yeah, it's a little bit similar to that.
Yeah.
The first season, second season,
I love the Bernie Mac show.
I kind of fell out of it.
It's too sitcom-y for me. I just wanted like a stand-up shit. I was hoping for that. But
it's definitely not going to compare to his fucking stand-up.
No, but there's no way they were going to be able to do that because it was like on ABC or NBC or some shit, wasn't
it? Yeah. I think that one was on Fox.
But, oh, Fox, okay.
Yeah, Blackish is on ABC.
Man, if that show was on fucking Netflix or something, that would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, that was before its time, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. Bernie. You guys got anything else you want to say? We're running a little long.
Yeah. Actually, this will kind of segue into something Matt has watched and we haven't yet. So I watched a documentary called Long Shot.
Oh, okay.
It's on Netflix. It's kind of short. It's like 40, 45 minutes. I actually thought it was going to be a lot more to it than it ended. I was like, oh, that's it? Oh, okay. But it's a really good story. So it's about a dude, I think in 93, 94, he essentially just gets pinned for murdering this like 16-year-old girl who, like, a week prior was testifying against his brother in some sort of trial. And they think he did it just because in spite of that. And time-wise, I tried to pin him on it, but he was actually at a Dodgers game. And while they were at the Dodgers game, Curb Your Enthusiasm was filming an episode that night. They fucking went through hundreds of tapes or hundreds of hours of tapes. They went through like the Dodgers like corporate. They went through like Curb Your Enthusiasm, HBO corporate to like track down the tapings. And like at first they're like, you can't really see any of the footage until it's out. So they actually somehow got through it. Like the lawyer who was defending them got these like hours and hours, like 12 tapes, like hours worth, and watched them, every single one of them. And some fucking astonishingly enough, found the dude at the game.
So lucky.
Like on video, like walking right by Larry David in like that's on so screen. Crazy. Like twice or some shit like that. Like one from afar, one up close when Larry David was like walking up the aisle. That. It's crazy they filmed that shit at like a live game too. That's nuts. But essentially ended up they're like, oh, that's, you know, that was like a half an hour, 40 minutes before this chick was murdered. He could have left early. And then they like scanned like a phone call that he was like when he was leaving the game with his girlfriend. So pretty much like got him off. Which is fucking nuts. He spent like, it didn't go to like major trial, but he spent like, I don't know, probably a few months at least, 3 to 6 months or something in jail or something like that. But it's a really cool fucking story. I never heard it before.
Huh. You'll have to check it out. I remember that making news about the whole Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It was pretty awesome.
Thing. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'd never even heard about it. It's pretty cool.
She.
Yeah, if they weren't filming that shit or they never found him, that dude probably never would have got off.
Fuck yeah, he totally got lucky with that. Fucking, they found him on there.
Yeah, no shit. Because, I mean, there was obviously, like, not rightful, but, like, you know, I guess demeanor that if none of that shit existed, they probably could have easily just pinned it on
him. That's a fucking sad thing.
Pretty nuts. Yeah, just shitty, yep. But I think they pinned it on, like, it ended up being, like, a gang and there's, like, four dudes involved. Like later on, or like I don't know how the fuck that works, but whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh well.
What else? Oh, I got one last thing. I saw Baby Driver. Matt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah. I think opposed to you, I actually liked the beginning.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all.
Yeah, I think mostly just because of the editing. Like it was like so well done. Like the way that the music and the actors and the cinematography worked off of each other was fucking great. Like the way that like the lyrics were kind of written in random places too, and it just you know, like the song
like
overlaid
spray paint on the wall.
Like, yeah, the way that that's like planned out is fucking amazing. Like that works out. You know what I mean? Like that's such well planned cinematography. Like it's so cool.
And then it's just choreographed. it was like nothing special to me. I felt like it was too cheesy.
That's one of those things where like, it seems like it's so easy, but that shit is like so hard to do. You know what I mean? Like that's like, it's
especially like to do it in one take.
It's taken for granted. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, that was cool. But like, when you actually give someone a camera and say, go do that, like that's fucking crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like just the editing and like all that type of shit was awesome about this movie. Like the way that they put this stuff together and the way the kind of story unfolds through that is really cool. But overall, like, I think it was like a decent movie. I didn't like love it, but I liked the way that it was made, I think, more than I did the actual movie. You know what I mean? And it's not even my favorite of, Edgar Wright's?
No, it's not mine either.
Yeah, but it was fun. You know what I mean? I didn't hate it. I enjoyed watching it. But
I think Shaun of the Dead's still my favorite of his.
Yeah.
Mine.
I like Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah, I always forget about that one. That one is really good.
That was such a great adaptation.
That one's pretty funny. But yeah, I remember Jen never saw it, so we like rented it, did the little digital download thing.
Yeah.
And man, the second time I watched it, it was like, I think I liked it even less.
Oh, wait.
Baby Driver.
Okay. I was like, wait, what? I was like, I thought you were talking about Scott Pilgrim.
No. Yeah, sorry. We're talking about Baby Driver.
I was like, God damn, I like Scott Pilgrim more when I watch it.
No. Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah, I could see like that being like, I don't think it'd be a movie I'd really revisit. So I could see it being like a not really worth watching again type of movie.
Yeah. But like I never really got the whole idea of his roommate. Like what was the whole point of him?
Oh, that was like, the guy that was like his foster dad, basically.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like that was like, there was no need for that.
Outside of some motive, just because that was like a tie. But then there was the girl too. I think it just made it so that it wasn't like so romantically driven, you know what I mean? Like it was like another type of thing. Like it was another loose end for him. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think that's really all it was.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would take more of like the romantic storyline than him going back to his house.
Yeah.
Just be on the run or something. It would have been pretty cool.
But maybe that's what it is, too, because this way, like, it has that pull so that he can't just leave. You know, that's his anchor, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, that's it. I'm starving. I'm starving over here.
That's all I got. That's all, folks. Right.
Go see fucking
See you
mother,
next week.
Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to go check it out maybe this weekend.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Shit.
Because Jen is out of town, so I got two nights by myself.
Ooh, I'm gonna be watching little Spanktrovision.
Yeah. Spanking in one hand, video games in the other hand.
It reminds me of that Kevin Hart bit where he's like, where the laptop at? Where the laptop at? Oh, shit. All right, let's leave on that note. See you guys.
Bye.
Sounds good. See ya.
Leave it on a hard note.